Recording. Wait, testing?
Sorry, here's the testing.
Okay, there we go. Someone on Twitter was like, easy loser this week. And I was like, we have like a list of losers to pick from, in my opinion. There's many losers.
I do understand who the obvious one is, but...
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know who you're thinking of right now. I know there's an obvious one. I think we know who the obvious one is.
Yeah.
I didn't know if... Anyway, welcome to Suck Off.
Oh, God, we're recording.
Yeah,
I was desperately Googling amniocentesis. At the beginning, I was like, I got to pause. I got to, like, go on Google.com.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Okay, we're about to get, like, too TMI too quickly.
Uh-oh.
Several, like, friends of friends. And if you think, like, I'm talking about you on this podcast, I'm not. It's literally other friends that I don't even know, you know? A friend of a friend right now is pregnant, doesn't want to be pregnant, right?
Mm.
And so when Dr. Hartford, I think it was telling Shiv, I'm thinking about you right now, I was like, oh, here's what they're doing. Again, this is several people that I know, gotten pregnant, didn't want to be pregnant. And the doctor was like, you don't need an abortion because, like, you're going to miscarry. Like, your blood isn't high enough, whatever. Mm. Like, you should just naturally miscarry at, like, 6 weeks and you'll be fine.
Okay.
We're going to keep checking on you, whatever, and then they just, like, lose it and whatever. Like, it was never going to take in the first – not take. They're already pregnant.
Okay.
They're going to miscarry. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what she was talking about with Shiv, but then she was like, everything looks healthy. Like, we'll bring in for your 20-week scan. And it's like, girl, that's far.
That's – yeah. That was – because I was watching it with a group, and they're very, like – at first, that phone call is kind of like, what's this about? What are we – And then I think the 20-week scan line is when I was like, oh, yep, okay,
yeah.
She's pregnant.
But then, again, 20-week scan is like, oh, she's keeping it. Or,
yeah,
like, at least it has carried it this far.
Right, right.
I was so surprised.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a lot of surprises about that scene. There were a lot of things that I was like,
I was surprised
shit.
That it passed the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Success should never be doing that.
Succession fails to pass the Bechdel test.
Every episode.
You've heard it here first.
No, this one they said, let's go Bechdel test.
Yeah.
We have Willa and Marcia.
Right,
we have Carrie
right.
and Marcia. We have... This is the battle of women.
I was going to say, this episode is both a huge win for women and a huge loss. We end up somewhere in the middle by the end, I would say. As far as
it all evens out.
The feminism goes.
It's like if we had a woman president.
Right. It's like Kamala as vice president. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what this is. So the first shot, this cold open is insane. It's one of their best cold opens.
Yeah.
Kendall's on the floor, looks horrible. A really nice contrast with the last shot of the episode, too.
Mm.
Kendall has a whole journey that we'll get into. I loved your tweet. I forget if it was your tweet or like Instagram where you're like, Roman uses an analog toothbrush.
That was the most surprise. I literally went,
so
analog? Like, you're telling me he doesn't have some sort of ridiculous $300 electric toothbrush,
right?
That, like,
someone to brush it for him.
Yeah. It's also floss. It's also a gun.
Yeah. Gun.
I was just so surprised.
Yeah.
You know, a couple friends that, like, make over six figs, and
right.
those bitches are using electric.
Yeah. Yeah, true. It was like a wooden one, too. It was
right.
like a really, like,
I'm like,
okay.
Did you fall for an Instagram scam where you bought a bamboo toothbrush and it suddenly arrived? I bought bamboo toothbrushes like 6 years ago and I still haven't gotten them.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Instagram.
Yeah. I've only bought one thing off, like, one of those, like, Facebook ads, which is, like, worse than the Instagram.
How'd it go?
It was a hat with a polar bear on it, and it came out massive. It was like it was this like giant hat. I was like, I'm never wearing this.
Awesome.
Anyway. The premise of this episode, the title is
Honeymoon States.
Honeymoon okay, yeah. Which is oh my god. Such a weird random. So far two episode titles based on like Connor.
Yeah.
Which is Who thought that was going to happen?
It's Connor's season, baby.
The whole premise is that they're joined at this wake for Logan at their old apartment, which I don't think we've been in since, like, season two. They skipped it out the entirety of season three.
And that same feeling that Kendall gets right when you walk in, like, you're feeling it with him.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, I forgot about... Not I forgot, but, you know.
Right. Ooh. I love the post behind-the-scenes thing at the end of this. Jeremy Strong was talking about how it's, like, the fact that they... Brian Cox not being there and then being here for the first time in so long, like, they actually started feeling the loss in this episode compared to the last episode, because it was like, oh, now it feels real because we're here and he's not here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
They were busy acting last episode. They were. I totally understand not feeling that sense of loss because it's like, I have to perform right now.
Right, right.
Versus not doing a scene with Brian Cox.
Exactly.
Like, Jesus, I miss him.
And wait a second. Did they? This wasn't where his birthday party took place in episode one.
I honestly don't know. Because I thought from the couches, I was like, oh, I think it actually did take place here.
Yeah. Who's to say? It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter to me. Personally.
They're here.
Let's go recap podcast.
Let's go. Okay, I did kind of skim through it this morning, and it's really fun to see when Kendall walks in, like, the first line out of Hugo is, you've taken a strap on and you fucked me right in the ass here.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, like,
that
how...
That was what he was calling back to at the end.
Well, yeah, because I was like, oh, funny, strap on, but, like, Hugo literally says that at the beginning, and it's fun watching Kendall, like, clock what he's like listening but not listening.
Right,
because
it's a weird
time.
Thing to hear when you walk into your dad's wake is right. You fucked me, Juliet. You took a strap on and you fucked me right in the ass.
To his daughter.
Yeah, I know.
Which is a crazy thing to say to your daughter. Marsha is back.
Marsha is back and better than fucking ever.
Marsha is back.
She has shopped. She has tanned. She has moisturized. She has...
She was speaking intimately every evening.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she was.
It's... That blew my mind, personally.
She's lying. What are you talking about? There's no way that happened.
I like to believe it was happening.
She literally came in and said, we spoke every morning and afternoon.
Yeah.
And also every evening. Bitch, no, you did not. This man was on... He was never on his cell phone.
No. He was watching the news.
He's busy underlining or crossing out. He's doodling little hearts on his will.
Exactly. I was going to ask you, because, I mean, since, like, season one, people are like, Marsha? ? I don't think she would actually step up at the end, but, like...
No.
Yeah,
she does not have the power. What she, I assume, wanted and would benefit out of saying that she was closer to Logan than she was is that in all of, like, his will and final testament or whatever, she's not going to lose out on anything because they were functionally separated.
Right.
They were... Like, she agreed on paper or whatever, completely married, and she's entitled to her golden parachute, as it were.
Right, right.
So, God bless her.
Yeah. Golden... Wait, they also say that to...
To Carl.
To Carl. honestly, yeah, she's, like, thriving the most in the same way, like, I would argue Connor and Willa are.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's just kind of, like, taking advantage of her wealth and power in a way that just, like, makes her happy and enjoys her life and not trying to get... More?
She immediately shills $63 million out of Connor.
Yeah. Well.
So in that way, she is in fact getting more.
Yeah, but it's like so effortless.
Mm.
And also, I don't even know. At first, I was like, that red is a lot because it is. But also, it doesn't seem like Connor's like, oh, that's it. Like, it kind of seemed like.
I think it's because Connor's delusional.
Yeah.
Because my favorite line, I need to talk about it. Let's
go
back to test.
Please.
Willa and Connor walk in, and Marcia's like, look how far you've come. And then she goes, look how far we've come.
So good.
I was
so
gagged.
So good.
Gooped, wigless. I was sitting there at my computer, mouth agape. I was so thoroughly entertained this week. I have to say, I know that, like, whatever, it was the best episode of television everyone's saying about last week, but this, I've never been more entertained.
This was Succession. We were saying this, I think, before we started recording. Like, this was an episode of Succession.
Yeah, it was giving everything that needed to be given. And people were making moves. I feel like we haven't seen, like, that many
business,
moves this season, and I'm here for the business. I love moves.
It's because Stewie's back.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about. I jumped ahead a little bit there, but...
They keep giving him his fruity little outfits and having him strut confidently into a room.
A little streak of gray hair.
Yeah.
Does everything.
I'm ovulating right now, and I couldn't do it this episode. I was like, I'm wet.
Yeah. What do you want me to say about that? What am I supposed to respond with?
Tell me more.
The kids all get together. Roman's like, I'm fine. He like claims he's thought about it so much that like he's already like pre-grieved, I think is how he puts it.
Yeah.
Which is true. It seems like Roman has talked about it, like, so much before it even happened. But Kendall's like, I don't believe you. I don't know if this is the first scene, but Kendall brings up that his therapist, because he, like, couldn't sleep at all last night, and then he woke up and, like, called his therapist.
Kendall's therapist is so bad at their job.
So bad. I got a good grief guy. Or I got the best grief guy.
Yeah.
Whatever he says. Yeah, and then Tom shows up. Right as they're like, there's a coronation demolition derby.
Yeah, the siblings are all, you know, doing whatever their version of grief is. Tom enters, and it's time.
Shoot the
shit. It's time to do business.
Yeah.
And by business, it is we need to select a new CEO before tomorrow, or before the before Monday when the markets are back up.
I thought it was in like an hour.
They're having a meeting in an hour to decide the next CEO, who will then be announced Monday or before Monday. Which there's a board meeting, whatever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. This is literally succession. It is.
Right.
Who will succeed Logan?
Frank asks them all to come join to look at some china. And they all, as in like the old ones.
Yeah. Frank, Jerry, Carl, and Tom.
Yep. And I wrote down his name because I didn't want to forget it. But Peter Friedman.
God bless you for.
Who plays Frank is just amazing this episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every scene he's hitting it out of the park. But yeah, they basically like kind of attacking each other, trying to figure out who of them would be like a good.
Because all of them want to be CEO. Yeah. Jerry's the only one with experience. Of course, the only woman who is actually qualified for the job and has done it.
She's perfect. She's really like perfect. Apparently, Carl, his last like big thing was in the 90s with Cable, which was such a great burn.
An excellent read.
It's so perfect.
These whores are so catty.
And then Tom kind of steps up. Like, with food in his mouth.
Yeah.
Which I think is just ridiculous. He says,
it could be me. And Carl immediately delivers the most devastating read.
Yeah.
Like they're in the ballrooms in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, and what he says is, you're a clumsy interloper.
No one trusts you.
No one trusts you. The only guy pulling for you is dead. You're only married to the ex-boss's daughter, and she does not even like you.
Exactly.
Purr.
Kind of just kills Tom immediately and sends him into this, like, spiral the whole episode.
I was gonna say, can we talk about Tom for the rest of the episode?
Absolutely.
So he immediately approaches two siblings, Kendall and Roman, fails so hard to be like, I want to be on your side. I'm here to serve. You think I could kind of be back and under your wing and your fray? And they're both sort of like, Kendall's sort of more polite about it. He's like, I like you. Good luck.
You could call that polite. That was devastating.
It was pretty devastating, yeah.
Someone was like, you know that whole Gwyneth Paltrow thing with the like.
Yes. Oh.
Someone posted that image of her going up to the guy. And, yeah. That's kind of what that felt like. It was like, yeah, good luck.
It's just, I guess Kendall's more adjusted to civil polite society than Roman, who says, you're putting your lip gloss on, Tom Mom, to kiss my butt. Not working.
I love how Tom says the same line of here to serve to like both of them. It's like the same. It read like dealing out your like resume to like frantically out of panic.
And then you know what? He's here to serve because then he approaches Shiv.
Siobhan.
And I know it's just a play. It's both things. I think multiple things can be true. It's definitely a play to get back into Shiv's good graces.
Yep.
Like, clearly using the one thing he knows about her, their romantic past, together to manipulate. But also, I think the line, let me show you some kindness today, like, don't be mean to me, let me show you some kindness, you'll regret being mean.
Yeah.
I do think that's sincere.
Yeah.
And so I think there's layers here. But then he whips out his Mr. Darcy.
I was going to say, you've seen Pride and Prejudice.
I have actually not seen Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
I can't handle it. There's eggs shooting out of me right now. I can't go watch Pride and Prejudice.
Tom Wamsgans.
Okay, yeah. That is what is so unfortunate is that, like, if I've said it on this podcast, it's been a joke. I've never been attracted to Tom Wamsgans until that moment. I went, oh, wait.
Something shifted.
The scales fell from my eyes, and I went, wait, he's been here all along.
Right. Mr. Darcy was under there somewhere. It's this weird flute that's going on in the music.
Yeah.
It's like the most different the score has ever sounded in the show.
They like are leaning in close, and they both are just like really pretty actors.
Yeah.
And he's like, Siobhan, do you remember in our early, he doesn't say this, but like stages of courtship.
Yeah.
I sent you those handwritten letters and you're wearing that silk shirt and I put my arm around you and I said, do you like this? Do you like,
And you said, I like it all. There's something about the blocking of him like
being lower than her.
Yeah. Like looking up at her, like kind of kneeling on the stairs and she's like sitting down and. Him calling her, that's the other thing, is like he keeps calling her Siobhan this episode, which is very different than, you know, Shiv.
Like it does it for me.
it I'm not going to argue against it.
It got me there. It got me there. All I got, you know what? It put some gas in the tank. And it put some gas in the tank.
I would argue, and it's not really, actually, come on.
No, come on.
Well, it's not a horny scene, but it's like a, there's like something there between Kendall and Stewie. I don't know if it's just really good, authentic male friendship or if it's like there's something erotic going on, but that like embrace that has been like already like posted to death because it was in like a teaser 6 months ago, but like it, such an amazing scene because it's like it, Stewie makes like some joke about the Pierce deal and that's what like
he really gets made him croak,
yeah,
which is so funny.
Yeah, it just seems like such a genuine laugh out of Kendall, and I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I love these two so much.
You know what? That is gay culture, because you know what? Stewie said something mean to Kendall, and then he laughed. Because exactly. He said it as a joke, because that is reading, you know?
Queer-coded.
It's true. That deal is hilarious, and it's so bad.
Yeah.
And Kendall was like, meh, yep. Like, that's the level of self-deprecation that is just, or self-awareness, I guess I should say, that you know, gay people just get it. So I definitely understand where you're getting the erotic undertones of the scene, and I enjoyed it as
well. It's like the hand on the neck. It's, I'm like, wow.
They're just intimate friends. I mean, they've known each other for so long, so this intimacy is not out of nowhere.
It is, yeah, true. It's like him and Frank are the only people Kendall can really go to for, like, honesty and... I don't know, comfort. Which, speaking of, there is like a scene between him and Frank that this is what I was mostly referring to with Peter Friedman. I'm jumping a little bit ahead, actually. I want to go in order.
I wanted to talk.
We had to talk about Tom.
Was it the rest of Tom's arc, the episode? Did he do anything after being Mr. Darcy? I don't remember. Like, literally, my brain turned off after that.
Not really, no. Yeah, right. He's so, like, shut out. Carl literally, like, just kills him. It's really sad. But Carl and Frank, they run upstairs. Frank is like, I found this in his personal safe. It's a list of his wishes after he dies, which... it's so juicy
because how it's not immediately revealed. Yeah, they, like, more people keep coming into the room and keep like finding out what's on the paper, but we don't find out what's on the paper. Ugh, it's just brilliant.
It's amazing.
And you know what? It kind of shows how the old guard operates, because I feel like if one of the kids found this, that thing would be in the trash so quickly. It'd be eaten up. Yeah. Tom would have literally stuck it in Greg's mouth and made him eat it. Like, but the old guard, I don't know, they just like don't make moves like that, you know?
No.
They were
Carl
thinking about
as a joke in a comic fashion.
A humorous whatever they're saying. It was a humorous vein. But they don't actually do it. They sit there and they talk about doing it, but then no one has the guts to be like, yeah, let's commit this crime or whatever.
Yeah.
Because maybe like there's a lawyer who would know about this paper that they don't know about.
Right. Jerry's kind of the one that like snaps them back to reality, I feel like, when she's like, yeah, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
And then it just drops that whole idea.
Yeah, she's like, I'm the only one with good ideas around here.
Right.
So we have to do that. They call then Kendall, Shiv, and Roman into the room. What is revealed is that, oh, God. It's like, it should have been expected, and yet my mouth is still on the floor. Like, this is somehow.
That's how
the
everything's
reveal.
Happened this season. Yeah. Everything.
Frank reveals that Logan has named a successor in his will, and that successor will be Kendall Logan Roy.
Right. But there's been some pencil
markings
on it.
Undated pencil markings.
Yes.
Specifying other things, like a miscellaneous thing with Greg in it.
Right.
And he has either underlined or crossed out Kendall as the successor.
Yes. So, I know the world is torn on this. Everyone kind of has a different take. I personally think it is 100% meant to be crossed out.
Really?
Of course. Are you kidding me? Of course it's crossed out. Because, well,
in
a few
pencil?
Things.
Why would he cross it out and not type up a new will?
I think the fact that it's in pencil is fascinating. Like,
yeah.
And not pen.
Like, he's reserved the right to change his mind.
Right, right, right. But I'm like... I saw an argument that like really sealed the deal, which is, why would he underline it? What is to gain from underlining it? To emphasize it? Like,
yes, because
yeah, but why would he need to emphasize it? It's already right there.
Because he's old and weird.
He is old and weird. He is old and weird. I don't know. They also mentioned that it's like they're like, the paper itself is old. Like, we're thinking like this is like 4 years ago or something. But these pencil markings.
Happened within the last 18 months. They,
exactly.
Like, they do know that because he mentioned the detail or something that happened within
why
the last
would
months.
He, after... Never mind. I know why he would. Well, I was like, it would make total sense why he would cross out Kendall's name after the last 18 months of like what he's done. But I can also see him being like, yeah, let's, yeah.
I could see him mindlessly doodling it and trying to underline it. I can see him drunkenly doing it.
Yeah.
I can see it. There's
mid piss.
Yeah.
On the floor.
Right. Like, there's just things about his mind that we will never know.
Yeah.
And so I can actually see it being like a completely innocuous thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, once he dies, I wanted to show Kendall how much I loved him by underlining this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like I believe any of these things. I'm just saying it could be any of those things.
Right.
And we will never know.
We will never know.
But look at us. We're talking
about it.
It's
fun to.
One thing Logan Roy knows how to do, start a conversation.
Start a dialogue. Talk about it. I personally think he crossed it out. Mm. And it doesn't really matter.
But then he didn't write anything in.
I know. You're right. Besides the Greg thing.
But yeah.
That doesn't have... That is so irrelevant. People are like, what does that mean? I'm like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think he's maybe left Greg a dog.
Yeah. Like, it means he knows who Greg is.
Yeah.
Like what Roman said. He's like, I think he wrote it down to remember your name.
It says Craig.
Yeah.
But the most, I keep saying this about every line, but Shiv is handed the paper and she's like, I honestly think this is crossed out. I don't think we can know. I don't think this is binding, and especially it's not dated and blah, blah, blah. And then Kendall turns and goes, it sure as shit doesn't say Shiv Roy on there, does it?
She kind of laughs it off.
Yo, I was ascending. I was
let's go. It's dirty. It's like, that's such a crazy scene because, like, to Shiv's credit, like, she started that whole thing. No one was talking about crossed out or underlined until she said it. Mm-hmm. And now it's like she's just put that out into the room. So good move on her part, honestly, but also crazy comeback.
Yeah. No, he got her ass.
She got her ass.
Pregnant, falling down the stairs.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I don't know. The room seems divided on it at that point.
Because they don't want Kendall to be the CEO. No, actually, literally nobody wants just Kendall to be the CEO.
Yeah.
Because the siblings think that Kendall will leave them in the dust. The old guard doesn't want Kendall to do it because of the everything.
Yeah.
So it's a tense conversation. Like, Kendall starts off kind of backed into a corner and he has to find a way to get back on top. And then he does, which is kind of why he's a little bit my winner this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call him my full winner, but he's near the top.
Yeah.
He is near the top.
But let's continue.
A nice thing I like is that it is so theatrical because it's like they're all in this room and there's like the fight and it seems Greg comes in. They deal with all that shit. And then like Tom barges in.
Yeah.
Shiv like looks over at him like, why the fuck are you even here?
Did he tell them that Carrie was there? Is that why he came into the room?
He said it was something like, Marsha has some words, or there's words.
Oh, that's right. Because Stephen Root had to make a speech.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Big night for Stephen Root. Had this and Barry back to back.
God bless him.
He's working. But then there's the scene where Kendall gets left alone with Frank, which is finally got to this point.
Yes.
Tell
me about it.
But Kendall is like, he's feeling like really still like kind of traumatized and like doubting himself and like, my dad hated me. He made him hate me and then he died is what he says.
I never got a chance to make him proud of me. Echoing the same things Connor said last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like exactly what Connor said. He never even liked me. I never had the chance to make him proud.
Yeah. And then to which Frank, who I ever since you brought up the fact that he's his like godfather, has made this like so much more moving. But like, he's like, all that is a lie. Like, he loved you. Or what does he say? He says specifically he was an old bastard and he loved you.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very nice line. But then Kendall is like considering moving forward with it. And Frank is like, would you you look healthy. You look well. Would you really want to come back in?
Yeah.
Which is like the tragic part about this whole thing is like, I mean, this is what everyone was saying after last episode is like, he probably will end up stepping up and getting the throne, but at what cost? He's just like a broken man at this point.
It is just supposed to be interim. It's assuming this Gojo deal is going to go forward, which, Jesus Christ, that seems less and less likely every day.
We didn't even talk about the fucking phone call with Oscar.
I forgot that was his name.
And Roman picks up and he's like, hey, Oscar.
Yeah, so Magic calls Roman and clearly they all know what he's going to be calling about, who's the next CEO.
Yeah.
So they're like, damn, we don't know. So let's let this ring out. We're going to take 5 minutes to regroup.
Right.
And then is this where they decide that it's going to be Roman and Kendall? Or did they not decide anything?
Not on that phone call. No, they haven't.
Oh, okay. So they don't. Sorry, I just.
No.
I didn't mean to do that. That was so rude of me.
I don't even know what I was going to say, but yeah.
They then return the phone call to be like, hey, can we talk to Mattson? And Oscar is like, no, you've, you know, dicked us out, whatever. Yeah, they're like, this isn't a power play. Like, our dad just died and we needed to get everyone on the horn.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, you just called me. You didn't call all three of us.
I love it because it starts off Roman and he's like, it's just me. And then Kendall's like, hey, man, Kendall here. And then Shiv just like butts in like mid conversation. Mm-hmm. And I forget what specifically she says, but it's like a
Well, she says, can we do a meeting in the U.S.? Can we not have to fly overseas to you tomorrow? Because that's what they ask. Can you be here tomorrow? And they're like, no.
Right.
And then he says something dickish on the phone, and then she rolls her eyes and flips off the phone, which is, this is such like, they really nail speakerphone in this show.
Absolutely, yeah.
They know what it's like.
Again, felt like season one in that one scene where Kendall's like, fuck off, and then dead silent.
Oh, I forgot about that. Youch.
It was like such a big Shiv L personally watching this phone call, because she like, it reminded me of the table scene when she's like, oh, come on, Dad, just tell him it's going to be me.
Yeah.
And she just like says too much of what's on her mind, and it's like, don't say that yet. I don't know. It was painful. Also, a nice detail I like is that at some point during the phone call, Oscar like says something to Mattson, who's also clearly on the line but just isn't saying anything. I'm like, that's
these rich bitches.
Exactly. So anyway, it's looking unlikely. Well, it's looking just bad.
Do you want to not talk about business for a second and talk about Carrie? Because I think Carrie happens like next.
I think Carrie does literally happen next. Yeah. Let's talk about Carrie.
It's time to talk about Carrie.
Shows up in
it's
tears.
So juicy. Yeah.
I mean, you explain it. I feel like you have this down.
She asks to go up to Logan's room because she has things in Logan's room. Yep, Marcia goes, they're in a bag. And gets Colin or someone to hand Carrie the bag. And she's like, no, I need to go upstairs. Roman comes over. And this was a very sexy Roman scene for me.
He's like, sexy?
Okay, yes. Because it was like showing tenderness and care for another human
tender
being.
Yeah, I thought it was.
For me, that's hot.
Okay.
It like, again, ovulating. Everything was getting me going. Shiv's eyebrows got me going at one point.
Colin in jeans.
That did not get me going.
Okay. All
right. I added myself as the Colin in jeans.
Oh, wait.
Guy.
Real quick thing about Colin, though, please, is when they're listing off the wishes, they briefly say they're like, a watch for Colin.
Yeah.
That anything with Colin just kills me in this show. It's my favorite character.
They're all like, he's a kid.
He looks like a dog without its person.
I wish for Colin's kid they just like CGI'd Colin's face like they did with Colin Robinson and what we do in the shadows.
Colin Jr. Anyway, it's Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie arrives. Marcy says, your things are in a bag. And Carrie collects the bag and then, like, is trying so hard to go upstairs. And whoever the bodyguard is. Again, I don't think it's Colin because Colin's also there to grieve. Spills the bag. Roman comes over to help. And he's like, do I have your private number? Like, can we talk?
Yeah.
Carrie says, I need to know if Logan left me things. Like, he said he was going to leave me things in the will.
Leave me a note. Yeah.
Right. Or, she was going to
get married.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I mean, we've seen this many times before where Logan, like, promised something, and of course, it's not going to happen.
It's not real.
Even if the man didn't die, it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. That was a super interesting. Okay, wait.
They pick up all of the stuff, and then Marcia's like, we'll get you a cab to take you to the subway to take you home to your little apartment.
I was going to say, that's the line of the show.
Yeah.
Or the episode. That's the best line.
It's full, chock full of one-liners.
The line.
I'm so happy Willa got a lick in, because Marcia like went undefeated this entire time. So at least Willa gets one little.
Dude, I'm like, the show will be just fine without Brian Cox. Bring back Marcia. We'll be okay. I love how like literally like 2 minutes into the episode, they're like, all right, we need someone to play that role. And that's Marcia.
Yes.
The line, they'll take a cab to the subway. It's so funny. It's so funny.
I live.
Genius writing. God. Whoever was like, no, they should take the cab to the subway. instead of directly to her
apartment. Mind, the mind of a mastermind. She only needs like 4 words. Brilliant. They're in a bag to immediately destroy this woman.
So good.
God. And what a brilliant acting. I don't know the actor's name, so now I have to look it up.
I know. She's kind of like underrated in the cast.
She does so much with so little.
Yeah. God, I'm so glad she's back.
Yeah.
Done shopping in Europe forever.
Let's see. Played by Hima Bus. She's
French, right?
Palestinian.
Okay. All right.
Rock and roll. I need to not look at pictures of her because I'm still ovulating. Things are going to go wrong for me very quickly.
Yeah, there's, I guess, well, that's Carrie. That's Carrie.
Yep, Carrie's basically, I doubt we'll see Carrie again.
Well, that's what I thought. I did think a little bit about the Roman, like, maybe wanting to keep in touch with her thing. When I skimmed through it again today, I noticed just how, like, crazy his reaction was to that whole Carrie thing. Like, he's still reacting to it, like, 2 scenes later. Like, he's, like, kind of, like, got that uncomfortable he's Roman tense. Thing. Yeah, when something really rubs him the wrong way. And I'm, like, trying to figure out why exactly. Because Roman is, like, kind of, he's Roman. Like, he'll do shit, but.
I mean, I think he can relate a little bit to Carrie's struggle of, he was also just verbally promised something by Logan. Logan right. then died. How are we going to execute on that?
Right.
Carrie's also his age.
True.
And has been sexually exploited by Logan Roy.
Yeah.
Which is maybe something that Roman can kind of relate to.
True.
Like,
true.
We skimmed over this scene where they're all reading the obituaries of Logan Roy and then like dunking on them. It's like complicated man, lenient on sexual assault.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And so, yeah, I think the reflecting on kind of what a piece of shit his dad was and watching it, you know, watching this woman who's his age and, you know, in a way his peer, someone who's, I don't know. I think I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see why he would relate to her. I can see why he might be tense over that.
Absolutely.
Or other things that we don't know about. I don't know.
Right. It was just interesting. I think I'm just like in denial that we're done with Carrie because part of me does not want us to leave Carrie.
Carrie and Roman will date. Mark my words.
I got a lot of shit for my theory on the Instagram story a few days ago, which was insane.
I was so drunk and I posted an Instagram story of my fat fucking head in St. Louis going, no. And then I knew I was way too drunk. So I had to delete it within like 5 minutes.
I never saw that.
Yeah, no, I deleted it because I was like, this is a bad look. But I saw your dumb fucking story. And I was
bad look for you. Worse for me. I'll say that.
It was bone chilling. It was anger inducing. I was so full of rage.
For anyone that doesn't know, also good reason to follow the Suck Off Instagram.
Yes, at Suck Off Pod.
If you want these crazy theories, I was saying Carrie is pregnant with Logan's child, but she'll end up with Kendall, and then Kendall will have to raise the child and be the father that Logan never was.
What in the soap opera? Are we watching the same fucking show?
Someone replied to the story being like, nurse, he's out again or something.
Yeah, I had 7,000 Montucky cold snacks that were all 24 ounces. I saw the best concert of my life. I go home and I open that fucking Instagram story and I was furious.
The thing is, I was stone cold sober when I posted that and everyone was like, are you on drugs? Be honest. And I was like, this is just who I am. This is just how my mind functions. Just this kind of shit. Step into my crazy, twisted...
Welcome to my twisted mind.
Anyway. There's an interesting Shiv moment right before the Tom thing.
Okay.
It's so all over the place. But she's talking to Roman. This is one thing.
Talk about how it feels.
Yeah, she's like, it felt good. She like, I really liked how it was feeling, and this doesn't feel good.
I like that they're a little bit more honest with each other.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of cynics out there who are like, they're still making moves. They're not like being fully bare and honest. And I think that they're, you know, no one's ever 100%, especially these people. But I think there's a lot of sincerity with these two saying, it doesn't feel good to have Kendall alone be the CEO.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, what happens immediately after is they're all three of them are talking pretty honestly, you know? Roman says he doesn't like it. Shiv says she doesn't like it.
Yep.
And they're pretty, you know... If it were season one, she would have been like, oh, it's because you're a drug addict and everyone hates you.
Yeah.
But in this, it was just like, it feels like we're not going to be siblings anymore and you're just going to take all the power and I don't like that.
Right.
So Kendall says, well, Roman's also on the draft plan because the COO is supposed to step up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roman says it. Kendall doesn't say it.
Yeah.
Roman says, I'm supposed to be the CEO. What if we did it together?
Mm-hmm.
And Kendall's like, I don't hate that. That sounds like a good plan to me. And then locks Shiv out.
Yeah. And I read it as, I don't think they explicitly say it. I think Shiv says it. That, like, is it because I'm a woman? Like, mascara, like,
running down my cheeks. I'm hormonal. I'm this, I'm that.
Think I'm going to faint.
The thing is, and I'm sorry, women. This might be an L for you, but it does make more sense to just have Kendall and Roman. It doesn't make sense to have all three of them. I understand what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
because the public perception of the company having a plan and executing a clean plan is important. Their stock is already in the toilet because Logan's dead.
Yeah.
They cannot afford to have it go any lower. Whatever happened with that debt plot line? Did that get dropped in season one?
I don't even know what you're talking
about. When Kendall's on the phone and he says, fuck you to the banker because he owes $300 million in debt.
Right.
Did their stock just go back up because Logan went back in?
Something along those. No. Someone saved the day. I forget what happened there. Oh, fuck.
Wait.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, this recap podcast. Do I have to pause? No. It doesn't really matter.
It matters to me.
Ah, yeah, it does.
Because Logan took out a surprising amount of money in 1985 to fund the parks, and if their stock goes under a certain thing, then they have to owe all that money back to the bank. I can't remember. Like, I assume that promise is still in place, and their stock is in the complete toilet right now.
I remember... Remember, Kendall, like, saves the day somehow, but Logan thinks he's a fucking idiot.
Oh, because he's Stewie. They go private.
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly, yeah.
They have a lot of private equity. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you.
Dug it up from the cobwebs. Yeah.
That's the only reason why Stewie's in the show. Yeah. You forgot.
It's, before we get, like, too into that, there's just, like, some other stuff.
Please.
I want to, Petkus is back, the Stephen Root character, and he's doing this, like, speech, and I like that Khan kind of foreshadows what is to come, where he's like, they're trying to body snatch him. The next 48 hours are crucial to like how the public sees our dad.
Which, that is so true, but then him saying, dad was a staunch, like, libertarian anarcho-capitalist. He wasn't whatever. He's just saying completely incorrect political analysis. Awesome.
Amazing. Sandy shows up too, who...
Sorry, one thing about Connor is, it is... the best character writing, that he's always so wrong and yet so right. He's so emotionally self-aware, but never is aware of when he's correct.
Exactly.
He would think his correct opinion in that conversation is their dad's political leaning.
Right.
Wherein, no, it's the rest of what you were saying about the 48 hours and they're trying to, you know, rewrite history.
Right.
You just misunderstand how.
Perfect character.
Yeah.
Perfect character.
Awesome characterization. Sorry, I didn't mean
to interrupt. There's not much to say about Sandy. But he's there. It kind of just feels like, he's smiling. And then Roman being like, I'm pretty sure he just winked at me. So funny. In front of his, like, daughter, which is so brutal.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I had. Oh, and then, like, during the... Okay, such a funny scene. During Petkus's, like, speech, when Tom is like, who died fishing his phone from a clogged toilet?
Oh, my God.
And that Carl blocked it because he lives on, like, steak frites or whatever.
Yeah. So it just really solidifies what I was saying last time, that Logan died a very poopy death.
Stinky death.
It was stinky, it was poopy, and phone in the toilet sucks.
The whole Mattson pissing on the phone thing. Crazy callback. Crazy call.
Whoa.
Not really, but I mean,
literally. I mean, I'm just disgusted. Like, nobody could unclog the toilet, or was Tom joking? Like, I genuinely...
The thing is, I want to say he was joking.
Yeah.
Because he says something like, or so they say, and I'm like, okay, then he's just shit-talking, but...
Do you think he really died fishing his phone out of the toilet, though?
No.
No?
I don't believe that, but I do believe Carl blocked the toilet.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Carl's diet in this show that's, like, been into
he's
that this
entire
time. He's
always on the hunt for ham and cheese sandwich and nothing else.
Dude, I need to get a Carl impression down. We've seen so much of him now that it's
it's in you.
No, I can't do it.
It was just repurposing your Tom.
I just love that Tom is like shit talking this whole speech, and then Greg is like into the shape of a dick, and Tom's like, "Come on,
yeah." Classic far, Tom Greg moment. Far.
I bet I was talking to my sister about this actually. How unlikable and not charming Greg is this season.
I love that for him.
You always say this shit I do not expect. What do you mean you love
it? It's really fun character development to watch Greg become one of the suits. He becomes this, like, slimy, disgusting old man.
Yeah.
Like, we saw this boy in his 20s in the mascot costume, now wearing this blue suit, not stuttering as much as he does.
Yeah.
Saying these awkward, terrible things the same way that you see Carl and Frank do. He's, like,
yeah,
really become one of those suits. And so I do love Hayden Greg. Like, it's really fun.
Well, that's, like, a big detail in the Carrie situation is that Greg is, like, talking throughout the whole thing, being like, here come the waterworks, and, like, look at, this is tragic. And
yep.
Like,
he's still, he's, like, pretending.
You just fucking hate him in that scene.
Oh, yeah. Because
you're like, hey, man, that was you, like, two seasons ago. Like, mm-hmm. You were at the bottom, and what exactly do you have going for you right now? To be, and that's the other weird thing about this, the way he's, like, latching onto Marsha this whole episode.
Have you seen, I only saw this on Twitter, but they have actually been, like, secretly kikiing. Like, they just are kind of little friends.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it was weird because I'm, like, the only other time I can remember them interacting was when he was, like, at the hospital,
yeah.
Season one, and she calls him like a mosquito or something.
Yeah, that's true. I just, like, in the background, like, they've talked, like,
yeah,
it'll just be like, hey, Marcia, how are you doing?
Yeah,
and, like, clearly,
we'll catch up later.
Yeah, like, they clearly talk, which is kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, here come the waterworks and all that stuff. Like, the way Nicholas Braun delivers it is very unsure of himself. Like, oh, this yeah. is the thing I'm supposed to say right now.
Right, right.
So it's really fun to watch Greg, like, kind of act what he thinks a rich person's supposed to act like.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, someone of power. So it's, I love Hayden Greg.
No, yeah.
So that's what I mean by I love it for him.
It's, they're doing something interesting with his character.
I'll you gotta have much. Heels.
They gotta, yeah.
And are you familiar with the wrestling term heel?
No.
What I'm, this might be a misunderstanding of wrestling, but there's, you know, the heroes and villains.
Right.
When a hero makes a heel turn, that uh-huh. means, like, you know, he's revealed something that, like, now everyone's supposed to hate him, and it's fun okay. to hate him.
Yeah.
So you gotta have a good heel in a
exactly.
show.
Exactly. True, true, true.
Greg's done a big heel turn.
I want to talk about this parallel that I made. Please. I said I have so many on the Instagram story. I have one. But I have one single.
You're so real.
But it's the stairs in this apartment.
Yes.
I think you know what I'm referring to.
Yes, I do.
In season one, Shiv shows up to the apartment, and she's, like, so determined to go upstairs and see her dad.
She's convinced that Marcia is executing wishes that, like, he's not saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think this is also seen when Carrie is, like, wants to go upstairs, and mm-hmm. Marcia's like, no. And I think, like, using the stairs as, like, refusal to step above where you belong is, like, a very simple way of the show getting across just, like, the power these characters hold in the show.
Yeah.
But Shiv, they have a very deliberate – basically, she goes upstairs in season one. She comes down, and Marcia stops her, and is like, is everything good? And she's like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, after being literally sexually assaulted by Logan.
Yeah. He kind of puts her – I like the way you put it, like, she's reminded of her gender,
yeah,
and, like, how Logan sees her as just a woman in this current state,
yeah,
rather than his daughter.
Several times, she is indistinguishable from Marcia to him, because
right.
it's just like, woman standing in front of me must be wife.
Yes. And I like it, but, well, I don't like it, but...
I love misogyny.
Hey, I don't like it. I do not approve of this behavior.
It's like, I have to explain to the 14-year-olds on Twitter that, like, I don't agree with Logan Roy.
I didn't say I liked it.
Yeah.
In this episode. She's also, in a way, reminded of her gender in that conversation with Roman and Kendall when they're like, it should be two of us. Another thing, sidetrack. I like the fact that Roman compares it to a threesome and the callback that has to Shiv wanting to have a threesome on that boat.
Period.
It's like, oh, man, he cut deep without even knowing. But she comes down the stairs in the same way, has the exact same interaction with Marcia, where it's like, is everything good? And she's like, all good, all great. Mm. And it's like, I it's tragic because it's like 4 seasons later, she's walking down the same stairs, same interaction. Because yeah. of the same reasons, and it's like she has moved basically nowhere is what it feels like.
Yeah.
She's in the same place she was season one, mm-hmm. and it's just tragic.
Hard to watch. This time, though, she's pregnant with a man, the child of a man
yes.
who she hates and is trying to actively
yeah.
divorce.
Right. And Shiv Roy has fallen down the stairs at the Met Gala, is what people are saying. She
and
rolls her ankles.
She was poppied. Neron's Boris.
Yeah.
Shiv has now fallen down the stairs.
Oh, my God. God. I'm going to throw my phone at the wall. That's insane.
I wish, like, I think it would have been more apt if, like, Tom and Greg
did something. Yeah.
So, like, this was, just Shiv falling down the stairs is very apropos, you know? Like,
that, oh, my God. That's so sick.
Right?
It's the greatest show ever.
Yeah.
I also, at first, when she was like, stop smiling, I thought she was just, like, saying that to the room, but I didn't know she was saying that to Sandy. To his face.
Oh, that's in that scene. I didn't see what she was talking to. It was kind of dark, so I didn't
see. He was, like, sitting there the whole time, and then, like, she gets up, and she's like, stop smiling! And it's like, yeah.
All I saw was a tweet. I thought she was talking to Stewie, because the tweet I saw was, every tongue that rises against Stewie has seen he shall fall. And then she literally falls.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's, like, it's just... It made me, like, nauseous, like, that whole... Because it was just humiliating on so many levels, because it's, like... I feel like she tries to, like, put up this image of, like, she's okay, everything's fine, but in that moment, it's like she could not hold any of that in, and it looked horrible.
And nobody could fall down the stairs and be normal about it.
No.
It's just an impossible
thing. It's so embarrassing. It's just so embarrassing.
Literally falling as an adult, it's like, what, am I a cartoon bear?
How old are we here? Yeah. Grow the fuck up. You're at your father's wake.
Yeah. You are not supposed to fall. It's so unbecoming.
Get it together. They vote for, you know, Kendall and Roman to be.
Yeah, it makes the most sense. Up. The old guard gets in on it. They're like, that's fine.
Yep. They go to his office, which I don't think they've ever been in before.
I've never seen it.
No one's seen it. They're like, did you know he did Sudoku? Which I think is great.
Yeah. And they're sitting there staring. It's just like a great theatrical moment where there's one chair, one jacket that belonged to Logan, the two of them standing there wondering how to fill this impossible seat.
I love that shot with the jacket. Yeah. Or it was like a jacket sweater situation because in the opening credits, they always show that one shot of Logan like from behind with that jacket on. And I'm like, it was the one because I don't really pay attention that much to the clothes in the show. But it's like the thing where you're like, I recognize that sweater. And we've all seen it, and yeah, it felt weird.
Yeah,
I felt the same. Like, oh Jesus Christ!
Like he's really gone. He's really not.
He's really gone,
anymore.
But it feels like he's there right now, and it's bad.
Yeah. Then Carolina and Hugo pitch to Roman and Kendall.
Yeah.
Listen, this is already an impossible situation we're in. Like this, our stocks are just in the toilet.
Yeah.
We can do one of two things: either we can write something flowery about you and pitch this as, you know, you guys
are a great dad.
Yeah, you guys are really close and
you
learned a lot. Or we can pitch it as Logan was weak in the end and you guys have been secretly pulling the strings the whole time, so that's why it makes the most sense to have you guys as co-CEOs. And, you know, that might do better to like shit on your dad and say, you know, we can talk about the Carrie situation. We could talk what's the other thing that they mentioned?
The cruises? I don't know. Not cruises, but like the abuse.
Let me go on HBO Max.
I mean, it's just it's like the shit we always know, like just bad dad stuff.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck. I
honestly,
I know it's gonna kill me.
It's gonna kill me.
This
and
is a fucking recap.
I actually do need to look it up. Because...
I wish I wrote this shit down. This last scene, I was like, I don't need any notes for that one. I know everything that happens.
Yeah, I was sitting there like, damn, this sucks.
Yeah.
And honestly. Okay, put yourself in those shoes. What would you have done?
What, between those two options?
Yeah.
I'm a guy, dude, I'm like, I'm a Twin Cities boy.
Okay.
I would say go the positive route. Be like, he was a great dad. Because I'm on their side. It's like, I don't want to like shit on dad.
I don't have
it's
Wi-Fi.
It's been one
it
day. I have. What would you do while I find this?
I would absolutely knife Logan. I would say that makes a lot of sense. The man's dead. What's he going
to
do?
He's dead, but it's
right
uncomfortable.
To me?
I don't know.
It's what Logan would have wanted.
Isn't that what Kendall says to Hugo is like, it's what he would have wanted.
This is why I constantly test positive for Logan Roy on my succession personality quizzes. It's because, listen, this, I get that it's interim, but you do need to execute this Gojo deal. You need your own leverage. You need to have as much at your back as possible. So I'm definitely team, let me shit my dad.
Right.
Sorry.
That's fair.
I'm a girl boss. I can't help it.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
they're just saying that he was losing focus.
Losing focus, geomagic
competence. I don't. There were some other examples. It really, it doesn't matter that much. But I'm like, you get the point. Yeah. They were gonna shit on Dad.
Yeah.
And then this
Roman says no, convinces the room to say no.
Yeah, I think Kendall's also like no in that moment.
Yeah.
And then in classic Succession form, where in the last 10 minutes, everything, last 2 minutes, really, yeah. I love it. Kendall goes to the bathroom. Part of me wishes they used the same bathroom that he, like, tore up the papers in the pilot. I think
it's because it's the new apartment.
But that's the same apartment, right?
No, they moved.
No.
They moved between seasons 1 and 3. It was a new apartment, remember?
No. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. For his first birthday party, episode 1 pilot?
Yeah, episode 1.
Is that not the same apartment that they're in right now?
I'm pretty sure it's a new apartment. Because I'm pretty sure, didn't they say something like, damn, this is a new apartment, and like, I don't, because Logan gets lost in it, remember? Oh, and yeah. Maybe it was new in season 1, episode 1.
Right. All I'm saying is I wish it was the same bathroom so that like, it would make more sense if when Kendall revisits this bathroom that he had a meltdown over in season 1, he would think like, because the whole point is he goes to the bathroom and he's like zooming in on the thing and he kind of is convinced that it's actually is crossed out. And which, dude, it just keeps going with this like torture to Kendall. Like he still can't like get a clear mind about what his father actually thought. It's just so,
like, he's fucking Socrates or Jesus or whatever. You have to interpret this.
Logan's last burn is this fucking line.
No, he'll find a way. He'll find something else.
There's something hidden in that Sudoku, all I'm saying. But anyway, he's like, he probably meant to cross it out, and that's what leads to him being like, yeah, we should fuck over Dad. Mm. And uses the thing about Hugo's daughter, Juliet.
Which, Hugo's thing with his daughter, Juliet, is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
She sold almost all of her Waystar stock before the news of Logan Roy's death.
Right.
Which is simply insider trading, which is simply illegal.
So I was going to ask you, Hugo goes to Kendall early in the episode, and I get that he wants to, like, tell Kendall about it. First of all, this is also before Kendall even knows about, like, becoming CEO or anything. What exactly does Hugo want Kendall to do? Does he want him to, like, take the blame or, like, not take the blame but handle it?
Yeah, he wants Kendall to handle it. It's difficult to handle. Insider trading is not the most jailable crime that we as a society have ever come up with.
Yeah.
However, he wants Kendall to corroborate the story that, like, I'm not even close with my daughter, and, if we spoke on the phone, it wasn't about Logan dying, and I had nothing to do with this, and, like, you know, can you help me cover my ass?
And Kendall's like, okay.
Yeah.
And it ends with Kendall being like, well, you could do this for me.
Kendall's like, can you please run the negative stories about my dad? Don't do it officially. Do it underground. Yep. Hugo's like, well, that's not the official company strategy. And he's like, I'm telling you to do this. Yep. Otherwise, remember the strap-on thing you said earlier? I'm going to fuck you with the strap-on.
Yep.
Gay.
Smiles. Cut to credits. Beautiful.
These devious little, like, strings. Yep. Ugh.
The score is so good this season.
Yeah.
We can't end without bringing up this one thing that people keep bringing up. I think like two separate people have messaged me about it, but that Kendall's initials are
KLR.
Killer.
I didn't know that. I feel like they knew that before this episode, but I did not know that.
I think they first dropped that his middle name was Logan in a GQ interview with Jeremy Strong, where he's like showing off the sunglasses he like got personally made, and he's like, there it is, KLR. And everyone's like, KLR?
Damn.
And then I think this being the official episode where they reveal that makes a lot of sense, because he does a killing at the end, basically. Yeah,
he really steps into his own.
Yeah.
That devious little smile. Genius.
You don't get to see Jeremy Strong smile that often, but it's when he does.
Winner, loser.
So, winner, it's nobody major. I think everyone major is kind of somewhere in the middle, but like I say the winner is Marcia. Because, obviously, I mean,
she's sitting pretty as hell.
She's sitting pretty. She has $63 million waiting for her. She's the boss of this house.
I guess she did make all of those moves. You know, you could say like, oh, well, Kendall made moves, and that's why he's the winner. But Marcia made the moves, and look at her reaping the benefits. Reaping what she sowed.
Nothing really bad happened to Marcia this episode.
Yeah.
She lost her talking partner.
no that one she was absolutely lying
intimately
about.
Intimately with
I don't believe
anymore.
This woman.
And then the who would you say won?
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say who lost, so I was going to say Shiv. I was going to say, yeah, Marcia won a second place for me, Kendall. He made moves. He got everyone on his side to elect him CEO, which is like a hard thing to maneuver at his dad's place. So he did it.
He did it. I wouldn't say Shiv lost entirely.
And tell me who lost.
Carrie. If we want to talk who really
Carrie already lost.
Yeah.
You know, like, she was already down there, and then she was even worse. Shiv previously had her siblings and now really kind of doesn't. She's been left at the wayside.
The thing is, there is, I mean, I don't believe them personally, but there is a little bit of hope when they're like, we're not going to fuck you. You get say in everything. This is just for, like, the public image. Like, I don't think it's over for Shiv, you know? She's certainly not where she wants to be. I will say what is really sucks is that she has this fucking baby on the way with Tom. And that's why I wouldn't say Tom is the full loser here, because between sort of getting in on Roman in a manipulative way, being like, Logan wanted you to step up before he died, I don't think that's the end of that conversation personally. And I also think because he has this baby with Shiv on the way, he's not entirely out of the company. So,
period.
I wouldn't say Tom lost. I wouldn't say Shiv entirely lost. I think Carrie had a terrible, terrible episode.
I always judge my who lost based on who, like, went from the most to the least, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So by that metric, like, I think there was just more ground covered by Shiv than by Carrie.
And Kendall makes sense as the winner in that.
Right.
That.
Like, he gained the most ground. Yeah. Shiv lost the most ground. Marcia started off at a high. Carrie started off at a low.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's our take.
You know who won? My ovaries.
Yeah.
And Shiv's ovaries, they are losing.
They are losing.
I cannot believe. You know what? Maybe this is a conversation for off pod. But I'm just so terrified of pregnancy. I can't imagine, like, having a kid you don't even want, deciding to carry to term. You're rearranging your entire guts.
With Wom's GANs.
With Wom's GANs DNA.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the most painful thing, like, literally human imaginable.
Yep.
And you're going to do that? Why? For why? You don't even want that.
I'm glad they're ending it this season, because I don't want to see any of that.
I want to see I want to see Matthew McFadden's face CGI'd onto a baby body like they did in What We Do in the Shadows.
The final shot of the whole show.
And his name is Logan. Here's the thing. We already recorded the episode, but I just needed to say this really, really quickly.
Yep.
It's been 3 months since the events of season 3, episode 9.
Yes.
Right? They said in episode 1 of season 4, it's been 3 months. Shiv is due for a 20-week scan at some point. Like, they will schedule the 20-week scan next week.
Right.
So it's been about 12 to 14 weeks since Tom and Shiv fucked that one time and said, I don't really love you. Since Shiv decided that, like, after the conversation with Caroline, that she wanted kids and then went and immediately fucked Tom.
Oh, my God.
And the thing is... Right, like, I'm sure she's on a pill. I doubt they use condoms, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just, like, kind of, my mind is wondering.
That is insane.
And I'm crying, screaming, and throwing up. Also, Sarah Snook is method acting by being pregnant.
Yeah, true.
She literally went and got herself pregnant, like, during filming.
We've been talking for almost an hour. This is, again, one of our longest episodes. There's just so much fucking shit to talk about at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and as always,
suck off.
Wait, suck off. No.